So have any of you made any excuses lately? Maybe you've been invited to go and do something. Maybe it was a party or an event or, you know, something at work, and you thought, you know, I was invited, but I don't know if I want to go. So now think about it. Most of you say, well, no, I've never made any excuses. You know, all of my excuses are legitimate. All of them are true, but you know, there's those times that we think, okay, we pick up the phone or do a text or an email, and it says, I'm sorry, I can't accept your invitation. Something has come up that I really just cannot miss. Sorry, please accept my apology. Or my wife is not feeling well. She must have ate something that just didn't agree with her, and so I can't come. I am so sorry. Now, sometimes those just aren't true. We call them little white lies. No biggie, right? Just a little white lie, because I really didn't want to go, and there were people there that I didn't want to associate with, and there was people I didn't want to see, and it was going to be a lame party anyway, and so just didn't want to go. Jesus on the Sabbath was making his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he was invited to one of the religious leaders. The ruler of the Pharisees in the area had invited Jesus to come to his house. Now, Jesus didn't make an excuse. Jesus answered the call to come to dinner. What is interesting is often we will see that when Jesus is invited somewhere or Jesus is going into a home to eat with someone, his disciples or even some of his followers might follow and be a part of that. Here, this is not the case. Jesus is the only one that's at this dinner, and that's important for us to know going in. And so, as he goes to the dinner of the religious ruler of the synagogue, this Pharisee, he goes to the house, and there is a lame man that has been placed at the front door of this Pharisee. Now, I wonder if it was he was placed there intentionally just to see what Jesus was doing. It was the Sabbath. And so Jesus sees the man, and he heals the man before going into the house, and everyone sees what he has done. And then he goes in, and people are vying for a position, and he tells the parable of the wedding feast to illustrate the necessity of humility to enter the kingdom of God. And then he tells the host, look, dude, you just invited all your friends and neighbors. Doesn't look like to me you invited anyone but you want to associate with. And he goes on to tell him how he has done wrong. And then he tells this parable of the Great Supper. And this all works together. I mentioned last week that parables are stories of salvation. And we see this again acting out in the parable that Jesus will share. And the parable is recorded in verse 15 through 24, but I mentioned last week, you've got to get the context, and some of what I just said is the context, but I'm going to back up to verse 12, and I'm going to start there reading and going into the parable of the Great Supper. So if you have your Bibles, it's Luke 14, and picking up with verse 12. And he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he, being Jesus, said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And the dinner hour, and at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. And then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the slave said to the master, 'What you have commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer. And I pray, Father, that you would illuminate our hearts and minds this morning for what you would hold for us through this, your holy word. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So the first thing I want you to see as we go through this text is that the very first thing that Jesus does in this is talk about the rewarded hospitality. So it's the Sabbath. The dinner party has become intense. Jesus has healed the guy that was at the door, and it was the Sabbath, and the Pharisees probably had planted him there just to see what he would do, and Jesus challenges them. He says to them, as you go back and look earlier in chapter 14, he says, "Look, what would you do if your son fell into a well?" "Oh, it's the Sabbath. I would just leave him there and I'd go pluck him out tomorrow." I mean, I guess that's what they would say because, you know, Jesus had healed the lame man. What would happen if your oxen was in the ditch or fallen into a well or something? Wouldn't you do something? Interesting, there was no reply. They had no reply to Jesus' question. So then Jesus rebukes the people who had come in and tried to maneuver themselves for seats at honor or honor to the host at the table. And he tells the parable of the wedding feast and how humility is necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. And so then we get to verse 12, and Jesus turns to the host, this host which is, remember, the religious leader, the ruler probably of the local synagogue, as he's making his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, and he is invited to this man's house for dinner. And he says, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do you invite your friends or your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors? Is that what you do so that they can repay you?" Because you see, at the time, it was very common if someone invited you to their house, you would reciprocate that and invite them to your house, and that was your repayment for what you had done for them. That was proper etiquette at the time. And Jesus, hear me please, Jesus is not saying David, you cannot invite, or Dale, you cannot invite, or Ron, you cannot invite your neighbors or your friends or family or anyone else like that to your house. That's not what he is saying. He is saying, look, if you are doing that so that you can get a reward from them or you can get reciprocated from them, you need to rethink that, because Jesus was opposed to relationships that were just there so that you could get something out of them. And so he tells the guy, he says, look, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Here is the rewarded hospitality. That's where that comes in. Because they can't repay you. They can't repay you for what you're doing for them. You are doing this for them because you care, you love, you show compassion to these. And he says, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Now, many of us struggle with this. We struggle with being acquaintances, being in the presence, sometimes, of people that aren't like us. Maybe people that do not look like us, or act like us, or in the same realm of, and you fill in the blank, homes, financial, jobs, whatever, and we don't think about offering hospitality in some way, meeting a need in some way of those that might look, act different than us. Most often, I would say many of us are more comfortable offering hospitality to those that are similar to us. And Jesus says, you might want to rethink that a little bit. You might want to think, are you doing, are you offering, are you in any way helping someone that is in need? Someone that needs your hospitality, needs your expertise, or needs your resources. Last week, we talked about loving God and loving neighbor, and that with the Good Samaritan, Jesus' question was, are you the one offer? Are you willing to offer? Not who is my neighbor, are you the neighbor? And so Jesus, again, is reminding us to show love and compassion to those that are disadvantaged and those that have need and those that we may not otherwise associate with or see ourselves even being friends with. He says, you will be repaid for your actions at the resurrection of the just. And then I want you to notice what happens. So what happens next is a hopeful remark. So Jesus has offended everybody in the house. How would you like to be invited? And the very first thing you do is offend everyone in the house. He's offended the Jewish leader, the Pharisee, because he has healed on the Sabbath. He has offended the guests by telling them, okay, guys, you should not jockey for position. That's where you sit at the table. So he's offended the guest. He has offended the host in saying, wait a minute, dude, you know, you invited all your friends. And so he's criticizing his guest list. I don't think there's anyone there that Jesus has not offended. And there's probably some type of awkward silence that's taking place. And no one knows what to say. You've probably been in those situations where somebody or something has happened and you hear that silence and you want to be the one to break it. But this dude did. And this dude, he said, blessed is everyone who will eat in the kingdom of God. And I bet everybody around that table, even the Jewish hosts, was going, yeah. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, everybody's going to be great in the kingdom of God. The thing is Jesus, he didn't respond to the guy. in the way that the guy probably thought he would, at least, because he probably thought, hey, yeah, Jesus is going to agree with this, because what you need to know, that statement's true. He didn't say a bad statement. He didn't say an untruth. In fact, the Old Testament prophecies in Isaiah 25 tells us that everyone will be blessed who eats at the kingdom of God's table. It's true. But God was preparing them through Jesus for something else. Yes, it's going to be great when we get to sit down at the banquet table of the Lord. It's going to be great that we get to sit at the marriage feast of the Lamb. It's going to be great in that day. And yes, this man was presuming that Jesus probably would respond in some wonderful way. The vast majority of us today make the same mistake of the presumption that something we say or maybe our good religious language or vocabulary sounds good. And so because what we say sounds right or maybe even truthful, where it's coming from in our heart, Jesus knows. And we may presume that we're going to be at the great banquet when in essence we're thinking, oh, my good speech, my good works, my obedience, my own efforts are going to put me at that table. And I will tell you that not everyone that speaks of going to heaven is going to be there. And Jesus explains that in this parable. Everyone in that room thought they were doing everything that was right in the eyes of God. They had missed so much. And so we come to this parable now as we look at what is going on in verse 16 and 17. And Jesus says, the man gave a dinner. This is the starting of this parable. And he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent out his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, come, everything is ready. Now, in Jesus' day, it was often two invitations. And I would say in our day, it's almost flipped back to where we do that. So the host would send out an invitation and say, I'm planning a dinner party. Will you come? It's kind of like our save the date. So those of you that have children that's gotten married or special occasions or maybe even your 50th or 100th wedding anniversary, whatever it is, and you send out, save the date. I want you to come and be a part of this. That's what Jesus is saying. This invitation went out. Save the date. And what is that date that Jesus is talking about? Jesus is talking about the law and the prophets. You see, the invitation by God had been sent. That first invitation was, there's going to be a Messiah to come. I want you to be my children. This invitation was to the house of Israel. These were the people that were invited. And God's, these were going to be God's own people. And he had invited them to this banquet. And finally, it is ready. And he sends out now the second invitation. And what is that second invitation? Is Jesus. The parable of the Great Supper is really about an invitation of sinners to enter the kingdom of God. This supper, as suppers often were in the ancient times, were symbols of salvation. God wants to fellowship with his people, and he wants them to be satisfied in his presence. And so Jesus is giving this great supper parable representing that God has made the invitation. You need to hear that. Make sure you understand. It is God who is extending the invitation for them to participate with him. And then he sends this invitation of Jesus as the second invitation, the Messiah, the one who is prophesied about, the one who is the Son of God, the one who is the Savior of sinners, the one who has finished every work of salvation on the cross by dying and taking our sins, the penalty for our sins. It was time that the great supper feast had arisen, and the invitation was, come, everything is ready. Everything is ready. All that the law and the prophets have said is now. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus would say as he was living out his ministry, heading to the cross. And the correct response was to this gracious invitation that he was making was, come have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and repent, confess, and receive Christ. This gracious invitation was for everyone. The gracious invitation is for you and for me. Everything is ready. And Christ says, will you accept? Will you come? And not everyone will. He has offered it to everyone, but not everyone will accept. You say, well, wait a minute, Marty, what about election? What about the sovereignty of God? Well, let me tell you, God is sovereign. God lives outside of time. God is all-knowing. God knows the beginning and the end. Just put God in that realm because that's where God is. Has he called those who will come to faith in him? Yes. But what we need to understand is that we read Romans 10:13 and we read Acts 2:21, and it says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is saving people. He knows the end, just get that, but it doesn't preclude the fact that he is saving people. And the message is, I'm going to invite you, and God continues to call, and there's those that continue to make excuses. And is he surprised? No. Is he caught off guard? No. But it does anger him. The text tells us, host is angered that the people that he offered the invitation to, and in this context, Jesus is talking about Israel, and Israel has rejected him, and Israel, the Jews will put him to death, but it doesn't not extrapolate out to us today. There are many today that hear the message and they make every excuse. And that's what Jesus gives in the parable. The excuses in 18 through 20. Jesus says, look, these are just feeble excuses. Listen to what they say. These excuses are keeping them from coming to the party, the dinner, the supper. It would seem that we would be excited to attend the supper where Jesus was the host. Would it not? When you think about the alternative of not attending that supper, these that had been invited had opted out, and they were good people, probably good people that, you know, in the parable itself, you know, is a story. But as you think about the parable as it unfolds, many were not necessarily bad people. They just did not want to attend. They didn't want to be a part of it. They didn't think it had anything to do with them. They are busy. Life is busy. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. Why would I do something differently? And so Jesus says, this man who bought a piece of land says, I need to go look at my land. That's interesting because it's a night supper. So he's going to go at night and look at the land he's purchased. That's his excuse. That's a feeble excuse. I doubt he was doing going to do that. It's that little white lie, I guess. And then we have the man who has this oxen that he has bought, and he says, "You know, I need to try them out." Okay, again, are you going to try these oxen at night when you probably can't even see what they are doing or what they are looking like or whatever? And so these are lame excuses because you want to do what you want to do. So yesterday I was talking with someone and I made the statement at this family reunion that we were at on Terry's side of the family. And I said, "Sunday's coming." And the response was, "And what?" I wanted to say, "Sunday's coming. We're going to church. We're going to worship. And besides that, I'm the pastor, so I ought to be there to preach." But what was interesting as I thought about that response, her daughter and husband made this response. "Guess what we're doing tomorrow morning? We're taking our jet skis to Jordan Lake. It's going to be a great day." I wanted to say, yes, a great day God has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Look, this world offers us a lot of excuses, and material things are part of it, material possessions. But not only do we see in these first two excuses, material possessions that are making the excuse for them, or they're using as their excuse, the third excuse is about putting others before God. And so this man says, "Oh, I can't come. I've just got married, and therefore I can't come." I'm not even going to go into all I could say about that. But this man represents the domestic cares, the responsibility that we have in our mind, or many have in their mind, that rob them from the pursuit and interest of God. So listen to me, church. If you don't hear anything else, hear this. Family obligations, if rightfully undertaken and spiritually balanced, never keep us from God or fellowship in the church. You really do need to hear that. Family obligations, rightfully undertaken and scripturally balanced, never keep us from God or the fellowship of the church. If you claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to be frank with you, and you may not like, I might be stepping on some toes. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you should be in worship with the body of Christ. Anything less is nothing but an excuse. You say, "Well, I've been church hurt." If that church hurts you, don't mean that God's not calling you to another church. You can make every excuse why you do not worship. And I'm not sure that God buys it. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the point that Jesus is making is not that God will not accept lame excuses for rejecting his offer to celebrate eternal life. I think the point that Jesus is making is that God does not accept any excuses. Because there's only two choices. You either accept Christ or you don't. Those are the only two choices. There is no other. And so there's no gray area. You either accept the invitation or not. You say, "Well, wait a minute, Marty. Now you keep talking about that, but election, God knows." Yes, God knows. But we don't know. And he's called us to share the gospel. to call people, to give them that invitation. How can they come if they've not heard? How can they hear if it's not preached? How can they hear or see or really know who Christ is unless we live out that life before them? He uses us as that invitation along with His Word and the Holy Spirit to reconcile others to Himself. And so I think in the excuse category, Jesus is saying, not sure about that. True repentance, true acceptance comes when you make me Lord over my life, your life. And so the parable shifts now. It shifts to a wider invitation. This gracious invitation is moving to a wider invitation. And Jesus says, okay, to the servant that's to go out. And he's, Scripture says he's angry. He's upset that people have turned his invitation. The nation of Israel has turned and rejected him. Or you could fast forward 2,000 years and we have rejected him. And Jesus says, go out quickly to the streets, the lanes of the city, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind. So Jesus is saying, look, anybody that's broken is welcome. I'm giving this invitation to everyone, but if these won't come and my house is empty, go out and seek these that are broken and lost and nobody is helping. Go out. And he does that, and people come in. And then he goes to the master and he says, but master, I've done everything you commanded, but the room and your place is still empty. There's still room for others. And then Jesus says in the parable, go to the highways and the hedges. And then he uses a word which is interesting, and compel the people to come in. So the first was come, the second was bring in. And now we get to this third invitation from the host Jesus, in this case, that is offering this second invitation. And so go out and get these, and go out and bring them in, and go out because the house is not filled, and compel them to come into my house because I want my house full. I want you to bring in those who will answer my invitation. And how do people answer the invitation unless they're invited to participate, to come to faith in Jesus Christ? The wider invitation was a rebuke against the Pharisees that were sitting there, against the people of Israel, against the original invited guest. And the people had received this from the Old Testament scriptures that they said they knew, the Old Testament prophets that they had heard and read. Jesus says, I gave you salvation and you refuse to come. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer it to the Gentiles, and I'm going to offer it to those that are sinners, that are broken. I'm going to invite everyone that even you think doesn't deserve to be at the table. I'm going to invite them, and if they come, they're welcome in my house if they make me Lord over their life. This gracious invitation is to this great supper that Jesus is offering. And the good news is to come. But right now, the dreadful news is this. Verse 24. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner. Jesus was probably the only saved person in the room. Jesus is saying that people like the Pharisees or religious leaders or those or anyone who refuses his invitation is going to never taste that salvation that he offers. It's a sober warning because rejection means separation from Jesus Christ. It means separation from God eternally. And so those who do not come to faith, those who do not repent, are not saved. This parable is a salvation story. And God's message is do not delay. And so that's the good news, is in verses 21 through 23, Jesus says, look, I'm offering this. I'm offering this to everyone that will accept. I'm offering salvation. And unfortunately, many will reject, turn up their nose, walk away from the invitation. So let me share this in closing. Some of you know the name Tony Coppola. He was a pastor in Pennsylvania. And Tony was doing a speaking engagement in Hawaii. He flew from Pennsylvania to Hawaii. He said he landed late. He got into his hotel. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Because of jet lag, he couldn't sleep. And so he got up and he said, I decided I was just going to walk down the street outside the hotel. And he said there was a donut shop across the street. So he went over to the donut shop, coffee shop that was open. He got a cup of coffee and a donut, and he was sitting there. And he said there were 3 prostitutes that were sitting in the booth behind him. And he could not help but overhear what they were saying. And one of the prostitutes, her name was Agnes, and Agnes said that that day was her birthday. So, in other words, this is 2 o'clock in the morning, so that day was her birthday. So she got up and left, and the other 2 ladies were there, and the cook was at the counter. And Tony said he looked at the cook and the ladies, and he said, why don't we throw a party for Agnes for her birthday tomorrow night? And they all agreed. The cook said, I'll bake a cake. The other 2 ladies said that they would bring, you know, some party favors for the party. And so the next night came, and Tony says he went into the coffee shop, and the 2 ladies were there, and the cook brought out the cake that he had made. And here comes Agnes. And Agnes comes into the room, into the coffee shop. And they all shout, happy birthday, and they begin to sing to her, and they present the cake to her, and tears are flowing down her face. And she looks at the cake, and here's what she says. Hey, guys, I appreciate the cake, but could you bake another cake for me? Because I want to take this cake, and I want to go show my mom. And she picked it up, and she left. So I'm going to quote Tony. Tony says, I bowed my head and I began to pray. Lord, we thank you for Agnes and for your love for her. You loved her enough to send your son to die for her on the cross. We thank you for the best present of all, the present of your own son, Jesus. Amen. He said he looked up and opened his eyes, and the 2 ladies that had been there had had their heads bowed and eyes closed. And he said the cook looked at him and he said, I bet you're a preacher. And Tony said, yes, I am. And here's what the cook said, and I quote, what kind of church do you have? End quote. And Tony said, with a wonderful, inspired moment from the Holy Spirit, here was his reply. The kind of church that throws parties for prostitutes and gives invitations to sinners. Is that not the church that God is calling us to be? I believe it is. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you have commanded, and there is still room. And the master said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in because I want my house full. Church, what are we doing? What are we doing? They had received two invitations. First through the law and the prophets, second through the person of Jesus Christ. And they rejected. The message must be that we must not let anything stand in our way of responding to Jesus Christ, nor can we let anything stand in our way individually or as a church in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming, folks. And there's not always going to be the opportunity to respond. The bottom line is, unless Jesus is Lord over your life, you're lost. You've received the invitation. The question is, what have you done with it? Father, thank you for this message from your holy word. Yes, Father, it convicts, causes us to do self-examination, causes us to look again at, am I the good neighbor? Am I compassionate, loving, caring to others regardless? Father, we know that you hate sin and you call us to hate sin, but you have called us to love our enemy. Father, you have called us to love the sinner and continue to share the truth of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that Hope Church would be the church, that we individually would be the people of God sharing the good news of the gospel, that the invitation is still there and is still open, and there is still room in the Lord's house, thanks be to God, for all who would receive him into their life. Thank you, Father. We pray this in your name. Amen.